Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here. Getaway Friday night, Friday the 13th. Krista Decaphobia Friday night, 2026, 10 minutes past the hour. In studio with Matt Morgan. Yesterday made the trip to Columbus, Ohio to interview Gordon Gee. The interview will air next week. And I am so impressed with what AI has done to this interview. If you heard the interview this morning, this will turn you around. This is just a clip of part of the interview that will air next week with Gordon Gee, President Emeritus of The Ohio State University.
I just want to go through a couple of these things that people are talking about. Yeah. You can say what you want about them or not what you want about them. You were on WOSU in January, and the quote that everybody is talking about is, you were talking about Les Wexner, who's in the news, and you said, this is cancel culture going wild. If you believe that there is even some scintilla of an issue, sometimes people just want to go to DEFCON 2, that's silly. People got angry about this.
Yeah, what do you make of it? Well, I think that they didn't have a right to get angry. They can get angry because that's what it is. Because look, people take great pride in seeing people who have achieved great things or have great work to see them fall. And, you know, I know Mr. Wexner very well. I was on his board. He was the chairman of my board here. A few people know him any better, and I can say unequivocally that I think that he is a man of great values and great integrity, and we need to let the process play out. I mean, why would we ever condemn someone because of the fact that they associated with someone else, and we don't know how long the association or everything. So I do believe that we have this cancel culture, and I use it again. You know, people don't see the right thing, and then all of a sudden they're a pariah, and people get bullied because of the fact that they don't think for you, and some people think they ought to think. The First Amendment is the First Amendment, and it needs to be, we need to reacquaint ourselves as an American public with the First Amendment, which is all about free speech and about the ability to be able to think and do and say what we want to say, to be able to be held responsible, but not to be given a characterization in which there is no need to do so. If facts came out that were damning, I think we all know that Jeffrey Epstein was a terrible person. But he knew a lot of people who probably had no idea about all the things that he was doing. And I don't think it's fair to condemn everyone who even had a relationship with him just simply because of the fact that he was a terrible person.
And I don't want to get too deep into this because I know there are some legal issues here, but the documentary last year, Surviving Ohio State, came out, and that now is a part of Mr. Wexner's history that he will have to testify in regard to that. Did you watch the document? No. What do you just make of that whole story in general?
I think, again, it's one of those things that I look back on, 30 years later, and obviously it's a terrible story, but it was something that if I would have been aware of it, I would have taken care of it. But obviously, in a very complex university, you're not aware of everything. There is no evidence whatsoever that my office do anything about it. This one guy keeps saying that my name is mentioned 33 times in the Perkins Foy. Probably it is, because I was president of the university. Your name was mentioned when you were the president of the university. I mean, so the fairness factor is very important. But I did not watch it. I just don't talk about I deserve being litigated right now.
But you did not know about it. Is how yeah. And the other thing, and then we are going to get to education because that is what I want to talk about here. Just happened this week, and you know, maybe this is just wrong place, wrong time. But people wanted to interview you earlier this week. We're taping this on Thursday afternoon. Some people who do blogs, and I think a documentarian came up to you in a hallway. I think you had come out of the restroom, and a professor here had an altercation with one of those.
Well, yeah, you know, I didn't quite see all of the altercation. But I do know that the bloggers were being extremely aggressive to the point that they were obnoxious. And I think that's not fair, you know. I mean, they're being good. Yeah, I mean, so I had been teaching a class for 3 hours. I was teaching the class. And so I came out, went to the bathroom, and when I came out, and I was curious to them about. I just talked about civility earlier. I think that the young guy, the young faculty member, they really got in his face, and he was in a role playing the Good Samaritan. I'm not condemning anyone, but I am saying that I think that. Incivility should not be rewarded.
We want to take a quick break here, come back with President Gee, and we're going to finish up the program right after this. We're going to talk education and maybe the future of journalism. That's something interesting.
Oh, Alan.
Hey, we'll talk about that after this short, but you talked about it in the event that happened this week. What do you make of journalism today that doesn't request an interview like we have done and just meets you in a hallway?
As everything in life, there are really people who are absolutely superb. But what has happened with journalism is the fact it's no longer journalism. Journalism is about seeking the truth, not seeking a political opinion, not enhancing a political opinion. I think, for example, what we're doing right now, you're a great journalist because we had a discussion, you asked that question, but you did not put a spin on it that was defensive or offensive. And I think that what is happening so often right now is that the world of journalism, as defined by what would be a good journalism, really does not exist. And I'm talking about from the far right and from the far left. I'm not condemning one side or the other. I'm condemning the fact that I do not know what happened to seeking truth and power.
Gordon Gee, and we've got a full interview that will air next week. He talks about the Department of Education, the governor's race. He talks about Jim Tressel as lieutenant governor, coming back to Ohio State, all kinds of things. Next week, that's only about 5 minutes of a 35-minute interview that will air on this station next week. So we look forward to that. And that AI, that's amazing stuff. Now, that is where I can see it being used. And by the way, is there anybody out there? We heard in the first hour from our good friend Ted and Carol Jolliffe how much that is improved tonight. When we did the interview, Gordon Gee speaks rather softly, and also there was a heater on in the room that was quite loud, and AI fixed that. You heard the version this morning that was not fixed because we brought it home late yesterday afternoon, and that's the fixed version. So tell us about the difference. 740-383-9944. All right. Any recap of what you think about Gordon Gee?
About the interview or like him as a person?
I think those are like the controversial sections.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of controversy. When he talks about his feelings about the gubernatorial candidates, I think that's very controversial. When he talks about Jim Tressel, I think that's a little controversial. I think when he talks about the Department of Education, I think that's very... Student loan debt, we did talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of stuff in there.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, it was a, like, 40-minute interview, so.
That's right. And that will be video and audio.
That's good.
And he came in with a bow tie, brightly colored bow tie.
Had two watches.
I didn't really notice the watches, but
Sean pointed it out.
He had some colorful bow tie and a red sweater vest on. He looked like Gordon Gee.
That's always good, to look like you.
And he sent me a nice letter today, by the way, I should say.
Well, that's nice of him.
He really is a stand-up fellow. And he wants me to come back down in April.
Good.
Were you there?
Yeah.
Do you not remember that?
I remember that, yes.
Remember when he said that at the end, he said, boy, this time flew right by.
Yes.
So we need to do this more often.
Yeah. He also, he was a little upset that Marion could not make it.
True. But you never know.
Yeah.
740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you have anything to say. What would you make of the Bad Bunny halftime show? 160 million people watched it, more than any halftime show in the history of the Super Bowl.
It was okay. I mean, I don't really know what to say about it. I mean, I didn't know the man. I don't usually watch the halftime show anyway. I was more so interested to see how this halftime show played out because of all the controversy behind it. Usually I go do whatever else during halftime. The halftime show's kind of meh, usually. And, I don't know. I mean, it was good, I guess. I mean, the production quality, I guess, was just about as good.
What was the controversy? The ice? Were they there?
Not to my knowledge. I know that at one point it was said that they would be there, but then, you know, they said that they would not be there. So, I don't know which one ended up being true.
Got me.
But, no, I mean, the production quality was about the same as the production quality on all of the Super Bowl halftime shows, so that's good. Lady Gaga made an appearance.
Huh?
Lady Gaga made an appearance.
Oh, yes, and Ricky Martin.
I want to say Nicki Minaj made an appearance.
People got married?
Yes.
It was all very good.
People did get married.
Now, this is interesting. I don't know who these actors and actresses are, but it's an interesting story. Margot Robbie apparently became codependent with Jacob Elordil while filming a recent movie. Now, have you ever... Now, they are not dating, and they are not married, but have you ever become codependent? You want somebody in the room because you spend a lot of time with them?
No.
Okay.
Unless maybe I don't understand the concept of the word, dear. Like... Is it like
you're around somebody a lot who is not
you miss them, kind of that thing?
Yeah. Who's not your family, or if you weren't around them for a while, you would miss them.
Not that I can think of, no.
You have nobody. Well, that says something.
Well, I like the people I hang out with, I guess, but I mean, I don't know that when I'm not around them, I'm like, you know what I should be doing right now? Hanging out with the people I hang out with.
Uh-huh.
I hang out with my friends. But, I don't know that I've ever, actively missed one of my friends.
Like, if I don't go somewhere for a while, usually when I come back, people will say, well, where have you been? So there's a little codependency.
Well, maybe if I notice you've been gone for a while or something like that in my head, I might be like, where's so-and-so? But it's not like a, it's just like, haven't seen that person in a while.
Well, I don't know. I don't think I've ever had any codependency, but there are certainly people who have been codependent on me.
Well, I don't think that's good.
No, but I realize it.
Do you tell them that's not good?
I don't really care. Because I figure it's me, they can live if I'm not in the room. There are certain people.
Well, I mean, I don't know. So you have, withdrawals from people?
Not me.
No. But no.
People have that with me, yes. They'll try to call. They'll try to send messages. I'll hear the, ding, ding, ding.
I don't even respond to the messages that most people send me.
Well, it depends on who it is.
Yeah, I guess. But, who are these people? Are they in a movie or something?
Yeah, they're movie people.
I see. But yeah, no, I mean, I think that's interesting. I mean, I couldn't imagine spending so much time around somebody that you are, having withdrawals.
Well, I feel like I can talk more, candidly on this show, because I know certain people are not listening.
That's good.
Well, but, you know, like I was saying this morning, and then I stopped because I realized that that person, there's a possibility they might be listening. I don't think they were, but there was might be a possibility. So you don't want to say it because you don't want to make somebody upset. But I was talking this morning about the person who I did not answer their messages, and they got angry about this. Now, I think that's a codependency.
Maybe.
Oh, I'm sure of it.
I mean, possibly. I mean, they seem to be upset when you don't talk to them for a while, so I can see it, I guess.
But they would never, they can't admit that.
That they get upset when you don't talk to them?
Yeah, they have a problem with that. I don't understand it, but they do. And I think it's funny. I think they're going through some kind of personality conflict. Oh, I said a couple things a few weeks ago they were not happy at all about.
Did they ask for your opinion?
About what?
Whatever you said.
Well, it wasn't like that. It was more of, why don't you read my stuff? And... What, you can't even find it. That shows,
I see.
That shows, yes. That shows me how much you care.
Yes, I remember this now. Okay.
Right, and I said I wouldn't talk about it again, but I know they're not paying attention, so I can I'm in the clear. I can talk about it. So, you know, there it is.
Well, that's good. I don't know. I mean, I think that this person maybe just feels like you guys are closer than you feel like you guys are.
But my point is, why is if they sent me the writings for years, why would I know where their stuff is?
Did they send you, like, links?
Yeah.
Well, then...
Yeah, but, I mean, why would I actively go there?
To read the articles?
Well, no, because they always sent them to me. Then I criticized one, allegedly... And then I did not get one for like a year. So I said, hey, what happened? Are you not writing anymore? Well, no, you just don't go. Oh, you don't even know how to find my stuff. Blah, 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 blah.
Well, she was sending links. That one might be on you. I didn't know that she was sending links. I thought she was just sending like.
But how do I know that she's written anything new if she's not sending the links when she has sent the links for 5-6 years?
Oh, well, if it's been 5 or 6 years, I guess that's a whole...
And then all of a sudden it stops when I make a little constructive criticism on one of the articles. I don't understand that whole conversation, to be honest with you. It's very odd.
Well, I think that this person is kind of odd a little bit themselves.
You know, when you say stuff like that, they never get angry. I think that's also a codependency problem. Because they don't care what you say, but if I would say that... It would be, oh, look at you.
Well, I mean, you know, they don't really know me. So, I mean, like, you know, I think it's just kind of like, oh, well, what does he know? Which is fair enough. I mean, if somebody who didn't really know me was saying things about me, I'd be like, you know, I mean, you do you, I guess. If that's what you feel, then that's what you feel.
I just don't think there's any reason to be upset.
Well, I wouldn't say that there's a reason to be upset. I mean, if you don't want to read the stories, don't read the stories.
Right. So why did there have to be a whole argument about that?
If you don't want to send the stories, don't send the stories. Just tell me you don't want to send the stories anymore. We could have avoided all this.
That was it. You know, here's the thing. I don't check on anybody's stuff. Now, people really don't believe that. I don't listen to anybody else's shows. I don't listen to any talk radio. I don't listen to anything. You know what? I'm trying to think... Like, I will watch a few things on YouTube if I get a moment, like when I'm going to sleep at night. But I never, I just don't have, I don't listen to the stuff back here. Unless I have to.
I don't know, I listen to interviews. I definitely listen to interviews. Like, I don't know, Phil Donahue's done interviews that I've listened to.
Well, I watch an old show like that, but I don't watch anything current. I don't watch anything like, I don't watch anything else in Marion. I don't read the paper. I don't subscribe to it. I don't watch anything anybody else is doing. It's not interesting to me.
I mean, like, I don't know. There are all kinds of interesting people. I mean, it's more so, I don't know, people like to watch the interviewer. I like to just watch the person who's being interviewed, like...
Like, if it's going on locally, I feel like I've covered it. So I don't need to hear somebody else's take on it.
I guess. I mean, yeah, I suppose, but that's more like a news kind of a thing. Interviews aren't the same thing.
I really don't want to hear somebody else's interview with somebody locally.
No, but I don't know, like, for some reason recently I was listening to, like, Ayn Rand interviews, and, like, Phil Donahue has interviews with Ayn Rand, I mean...
Well, yeah, that's different.
Like, there are all kinds of interviews I listen to with, like three or four different interviewers.
Yeah, but that's not... I'm talking local. I'm talking in the current era.
Well, local's gonna be, like, you're gonna get the same information, pretty much.
That's what I just said.
Well, okay, we agree then.
But you said that's not an interview, that's just the news.
Well, I was like, well, yeah, because that's... I don't know. I guess I see what you're saying now, yeah. I probably misunderstood it.
And plus, I don't... Like, I don't want to hear an interview when I know it's I'm not going to take away anything from it.
What do you mean?
I think...
Like, just not informational?
Yeah, I don't think there... You know what's going to be informational and what's not by who's conducting it. And I don't know that we have any... Well, as a lot of people... I don't know that we have any serious journalists left in Marion. I don't know that there's anybody out there really doing a straight interview with anybody. I think everybody's got an agenda when they're doing an interview. So you get more of their opinion than any kind of usable information.
Yeah, I suppose.
Like Gordon Gee said, he did not feel I was on offense or defense.
Well,
I
that's
feel
the
like
job.
Yeah, but that's not the job with the local people. The local people, I get the feeling, are either on offense or defense with the people they're talking to.
I don't know. I don't... See,
usually it's offense.
I don't listen to interviews by... I don't listen to talk radio unless it's this station.
There you go. That's what I said.
Yeah, other than that, I'm listening to, like, music.
Like, if somebody sends me a Marion Star article, I'll read what they've sent. But I don't seek it out.
Yeah.
And she's probably the closest thing to a journalist in Marion. She's okay. Sometimes there's offense in their interviews, but some of it's okay.
Okay. I mean, I think it's all right. Yeah, I mean, I don't read the paper. So
but I don't think there's anybody... I think everybody else is just basically giving you their opinion.
I don't think there's anything wrong with an opinion article necessarily, so long as it's, like, labeled an opinion article.
But they don't.
You can't label it as like, you know, facts if it's all an opinion. Doesn't seem quite right.
I just think there's an awful lot of misinformation. And I think that, in the end, will be the downfall. And you know what? I'm also surprised. People claim to want to be fair. Or they want everybody to be fair, but they're not fair. So that's a little hypocritical.
Like the person being interviewed?
Well, like, they'll criticize other people for not being fair, but they're not fair themselves.
Yeah, sure. I could think of a couple people.
Right. So I think, isn't that a little hypocritical? I mean, what you want in other people, you don't do?
Well, do you think they realize it?
I don't know. I would have to think they do.
Well, I mean, I would think if you realized you were being hypocritical, you might not do it.
I think they know they're being hypocritical, and I think that's why they try to bring you to their level. Because I don't think they can do anything other than that.
What do you mean?
Like, I think they know exactly what kind of show they're doing. But they don't want you to be the arbiter of truth. So they try to bring you to their level. Instead of trying to come up to your level, they try to bring you down to theirs.
Well, I don't think that's great.
No, but that's what all criticism is. I mean, really, if you think about it, why are you criticizing somebody else who's doing the same thing you're doing? Now, there's only one reason to do that. To bring them down. Why are you trying to bring them down? You must envy them. Because if you didn't envy them and you thought they were doing a bad job anyway, why would you have to say anything? Who's listening to them? Like, I always love when somebody says nobody listens. Obviously you do.
I don't know. Hate listening is a big thing. Now, especially, well, as of late.
I don't understand that.
It doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
I would not listen to anything.
If I didn't like it, why am I going to sit there and listen to it?
I don't understand. It's funny in a way.
Yeah, I could agree. Yeah.
So also, by the way, not just we talked a little bit about this earlier, not just do we have the governor's primary on the Republican side, we got four people running for county commissioner here in Marion, and we've got three people running in the 86th district for the primary. So I think this is interesting.
Yeah, it's a big primary.
So who's going to win the county commissioner primary?
Well, I don't know. I think the county commissioner primary is interesting because, I mean, three of the people are all, I mean, I guess all of the people in theory are in the Marion GOP, but Jason's kind of been, ousted to some extent from the GOP, but I mean, I don't know, ousted even. I think he kind of distanced himself from it. At the same time, but
Jason did well in the last primary. I believe he finished second.
Well, that's good. I mean, I think that bodes well for him, seeing as the other three are pretty good and well. I mean, they're
see, I think people think that Stuyvesant will walk away with it because he's the former commissioner who had that seat before Davis. But are the same people who would turn out for Stuyvesant the Neff people? Are they the Mooney people? I don't know. That's going to be what tells that tale.
Well, I mean, the vote's got to be split somehow, I guess.
Right, but what's it being split by? You know, I clearly think Jason, we know from the last primary, is the outsider in the Republican Party. So whatever votes he gets will come from people who either are not Republicans, maybe independents, or Republicans who just like him and who do not like the establishment. The establishment clearly is a bigger group, and if it was one-on-one, you would give it to the establishment in a Republican primary, but it's three-on-one, because I don't know who else is an outsider in that race.
I think it largely depends on how many independents... Well, I don't know. I guess it's a primary, so I guess it really just depends on how many people vote for...
If a third were independents, he would win.
Yeah. It depends on how many independents show up to vote in the primary.
Because I think that's what happened in the last commissioner primary, in which... I'm trying to think of who won that. Well, he's in there now. Brian Davidson. So...
Kevin
Davidson. See, I did mess it up. Kevin Davidson. Kevin and Kerr Murray were both the establishment people. Kerr was the sitting commissioner. Kevin. Why do I want to call him Brian? Kevin was an establishment. Jason was not. So Kevin won. Jason finished second. Kerr finished third. Now add two more people in there.
Well, I'm not sure what really separates. I mean, I haven't, I'm sure something separates them, but I'm not sure what separates the three candidates.
Well, I know they are all, well, one, Mrs. Neff is the wife of the president of the party. So I would say that's an establishment person.
Who's the president?
Well, who do you think?
Mike. Neff.
And then the past president is Ken Stuyvesant. So I'd say he's an establishment. And then you got Mooney, who is a regular attendee. So, a lot of establishment there.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they each got their own little group in there.
Well, I would think.
There must be some kind of breakdown in that party. I don't know. And then you've got the 86th District.
Well, I really don't know what separates those three. I mean, I think each one that's come on said that, you know, pretty much they're the same candidate, give or take, like, you know, severity of feeling, I guess, on an issue.
Well, I don't know what happened to Mr. Wolf.
Yeah,
he
kind of fell off after the interview.
He did an announcement that he was running and then kind of disappeared.
Yep.
So I don't know what happened there. Now, Ben, I'm starting to see signs.
Yes, big signs. We've seen big signs.
So now I'm thinking there's some money there.
Well, I mean, you know, I think it, you know, cost a lot of money to run for state rep, I guess.
And then you've got Weslin.
He's got a lot of money.
$250,000.
Quite a bit of money.
But does she have? Did she alienate? I don't know. Did she alienate a group of people by attacking Tracy Richardson? That's going to be the question.
Well, I think probably. I mean, I think she alienated Tracy Richardson's people. I mean, you know, she obviously won re-election. She was popular to some extent, and it wasn't exactly a nice election.
No, so that'll be the big question for her. Who did she alienate?
Well, I guess we'll find out.
We will find out.
I think it'll end up being interesting, though.
So, what's your prediction?
As far as...
Well, obviously you think Vivek...
will...
win his primary.
Oh, yes, I think Vivek will win the primary.
Commissioner seat?
I think it'll probably be Stuyvesant or Schauber.
And the 86th District?
I'd say Ben Weber.
Anybody by big margins?
I think Vivek's going to have a big margin. I think that Vivek could have a big margin. But besides that, I don't see any, you know, massive splits.
And the Democratic Party, really, in this one, just gets a walkthrough.
Seems that way, yeah.
Ken Halloran running, you know, unopposed. Amy Acton running unopposed.
That's exciting.
So, you know, there won't be much going on the Democratic side that night. But it's going to be an interesting primary night with those three races.
I'm excited to see how the election itself turns out.
Well, election night will be interesting. We're going to elect a first.
I haven't heard anything about the Senate race. When's the Senate race?
Election night?
Yes, yeah, I thought so. I haven't heard.
Apparently Sherrod Brown has raised a lot more money. Raised a lot more money in the fourth quarter than...
I've got a Sherrod Brown button.
You know, I don't know. Well, what do you like about Sherrod Brown?
Sherrod Brown's got a lot of experience. That's a positive, considering nobody else who's running has experience. You got to have somebody in there who knows what they're doing.
Well, Husted is the senator.
I understand, but I don't like Husted.
But you can't say nobody else has experience.
Well, you see, but okay, yes, let me rephrase. Nobody else has experience that I like. I just don't like Husted. I don't even necessarily like Sherrod Brown. I think Sherrod Brown's all right. He's okay.
So what do you see as the big difference between Sherrod Brown and Amy Acton?
I mean, I don't know anything about Amy Acton. I mean, she hasn't said anything.
What do you know about Sherrod Brown?
Well, I mean, you know, Sherrod Brown, you know, the whole, you know, like, pro-union, that kind of thing. I mean, I know that he got beat over the head in the election against Bernie Moreno for being, I don't know, pro-LGBTQ, that whole thing. But, but that was had to deal with the trans athletes in sports. But, I mean, he, again, wasn't even necessarily in favor. I think he just said something along the lines of that the NCAA should worry about that. Well, it's the NCAA's problem because the NCAA is a private organization and they should, you know, do that themselves. Which I think is fine. That's you know, the free market. You know, he's an all right kind of fellow.
So you think Amy Acton doesn't feel the same way on those issues?
I haven't heard her say anything about any of the issues.
Well, all the unions have endorsed her. I assume she's pro-union.
Yeah, I got that.
What was the other thing he said? LGBTQ? I'm probably pretty sure she's...
No. Because he said that the NCAA should do, like, it's, you know, basically it's an NCAA problem.
See, I don't understand what that has to do with an election. Why is that an issue?
Because it's just government regulation on a private entity.
Yeah, but you think one senator is going to decide that?
No, but I think that if you elect a senator who believes that, then the odds you get a senator...
You don't think Husted believes that?
Well, apparently, I don't think... No, I think that Husted was in favor of Donald Trump mandating that the NCAA couldn't do that. And that's, again, regulating private business. Private
but
industry.
Did that happen?
What do you mean?
Did Trump regulate that?
He signed the whole thing.
I remember that he did an executive order, but is that in play? Because you don't hear... I mean, where are all these people picketing that they can't play? I mean, I thought this was such a big issue.
Well, I mean...
I haven't heard anything about it.
It was never a massive issue. I mean, the NCAA... I mean, like, I don't know who it was, but one of the, I don't know, spokespeople, will say, came out and said something like they had... I want to say, like, six trans athletes in the entire in the entirety of the NCAA.
Okay.
So it's not a big thing.
So why do people care about that? Six people.
I don't know. It became a big thing after, I can't think of the lady's name, but the Penn State swimmer won the championships.
Who watches swimming?
College swimming? Nobody.
I don't know. It just seems like a weird thing to argue about to me. You know, things that affect so few.
What?
If the NCAA wants to let them in, whatever.
Well, I tend to agree. I think if the NCAA doesn't want to let them in, then that's the NCAA's prerogative. The NCAA is a private organization. They have that right.
Anyway, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. What's coming up next hour?
Next hour, we're going to be talking about the results of the Super Bowl. We're going to be talking about a little bit of the coaching carousel. There's not a whole lot there, and a tiny bit of the free agency, and then politics.
Coaching carousel.
Yep, the coaching carousel.
I still think that's a fake thing.
It's not a fake thing.
I think it is, because I don't understand it at all.
Basically, the coaching free agency.
Anyway, phone lines are open if you want to weigh in. We got about 12 minutes left in the show. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944.
If you're a coach in the NFL, you could have a coaching job for just about forever, it seems like. I mean, you won't always be a head coach, but like Matt Nagy, for example. Matt Nagy was the head coach at the Bears, did terribly, ended up getting fired at the Bears. He went to be the quarterback's coach at the Chiefs. He was promoted to the offensive coordinator at the Chiefs, and now he's the offensive coordinator at the Giants under Jim Harbaugh, or John Harbaugh.
You know, I think the whole reason I hate Sundays is because of football.
What do you have against football?
I just remember when I was younger, there were certain people who liked to watch football. And I just, all day with football, who cares?
I like football.
I didn't care then. I don't care now. It is so nice to get home on the night of the Super Bowl and not even turn the thing on.
I do think it's interesting, though, because I, not like incredibly recently, but like as of the last couple of years, I started watching hockey. I couldn't tell you any of the names of the players or anything like that. And I don't even have a favorite team. I just like to watch the game. But I've been a Packers fan forever, and I couldn't even tell you why I'm a Packers fan.
I love when people during the Ohio State games, they'll always message, "Are you watching the game?" No. No, I'm not watching the game.
I like to make fun of Ohio State people when they lose. That's my favorite pastime during college football season.
You know what? Speaking of what I watch, you know what I've been watching recently is on the Roku. They have channels now, free channels.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, there's this thing now where they'll take one show and they'll just air it constantly on one channel, like in a spin.
Yeah. Yeah, they do that.
Right. So the show that I have been watching, I stumbled on, was a show from the 80s and 90s called In the Heat of the Night.
I know that.
Yes, a good show. I remember when it was on. And it's Carol O'Connor.
Is it the same? There's a movie, right?
It was a movie, yeah.
Is it the same thing?
Yeah, same idea.
Now that I don't think I've seen the show. I've seen the movie. I didn't know there
was. The show is very good. The show is good. It's Carol O'Connor as the sheriff in the southern town, who was Archie Bunker.
Okay.
He's the sheriff. And an actor named Howard Rollins plays Virgil, the black detective, in this southern town. And then you've got all the people who work in the police station. And then you have the crimes that take place in the town. And it's a good show. It's a good show. Some shows are not good. That's a good show.
That's good.
I think it's because, you know, I heard, there's a book. Brandon Tartikoff, who ran NBC years ago, wrote a book called The Last Great Ride. And it was when he was the president of NBC. And when he took over at NBC, they were dead last, third place, terrible network. Nothing worked. And the first few years there, nothing worked. And then he became the most successful person in the history of NBC. More hits under him than anybody. The Cosby Show, Cheers, Golden Girls, Heat of the Night, Matlock, Alf, all those shows came under him. And they became first place for like 5 or 6 years until he left. And he tells the story about In the Heat of the Night, which is a great story in this book. Because every chapter he like will take a popular show and he'll tell like the inner workings of what a network president has to deal with. And Carol O'Connor, obviously, was a big name. He played Archie Bunker. So he takes this role on The Heat of the Night. He's the star. And the first year becomes a hit. Second year, it's a hit. But Carol O'Connor starts to get in arguments with the people who are running the show. He doesn't like what they're writing. He doesn't like the stories. He doesn't like the actors. He doesn't like any of it. But it's a hit show. So after the end of the second year, he tells Brandon Tartikoff, he says, "Listen, if you don't fire the people running this show and put me in charge as executive producer, I'm leaving. I'm not doing this anymore." And he's like, Brandon Tartikoff threatened to sue him for breach of contract, and he's saying, "You can go ahead and sue me because I'm not coming back to the show." And so it went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then there's this meeting. Big showdown in the office because the season's about to start taping. And Brandon Tartikoff calls Carol O'Connor and says, "Come to my office." And Brandon Tartikoff says he thinks he's going to strong arm Carol O'Connor into doing this because in the movie, In the Heat of the Night, his character, Gillespie, Carol O'Connor's character, was played by an actor named Rod Steiger, who went on to win Academy Awards and things. So he brings Carol O'Connor in, and they're making small talk, and he says, Brandon Tartikoff says to Carol O'Connor, he says, "Carol, I'm sorry to tell you, but I've had to call Rod Steiger." And Carol, he said, without blinking an eye, Carol said, "Oh, Rod's very good. If you get Rod, you'll be lucky." And he said, in that moment, he knew that Carol O'Connor was going to be running that show, and he was going to have to fire the people running it, because he wasn't backing off. And that's what happened. And the show went on to run many more years, so I guess it was the right choice.
I don't know. I would have probably just let the man go.
You don't ever let a hit show go.
Yeah, but it sounds to me like the man was causing problems.
But then you're just cutting off your nose to spite your face. People don't know if the showrunners are gone. They know when the star is gone.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like it's an animation. You can't just change the voice actor.
Right, the star will always be above the people running the show. That's happened a lot, though, on shows.
Has it ruined any shows?
No, I don't think it ever ruins them, because when a showrunner leaves, nobody notices.
I mean, there's never been a show that was just, you know, good until the showrunner got, like, fired, and then the new showrunner was just, like, god-awful?
Not usually, because people will watch terrible stuff if they're already addicted to it. And all shows they're not as good the longer they're on.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's you start strong, you end strong.
Well, I don't know if you end strong. A lot of shows end very poorly.
Well,
I
guess the goal is to start strong, end strong. The middle's...
When you're doing 24 shows a year in those days, you're eventually going to run out of things. You're going to start repeating yourself.
Like episodes?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
So that's what happens. The longer you're on, which is a good sign, because that means people are still watching, the weaker you're going to get because you've run out of things to do.
Well, I mean, you can always recycle, I guess. Just change it up a bit. That's what they do anyways for movies, usually. I mean, you know. Every Hallmark...
Sometimes you can keep a show going.
Every Hallmark movie is the same movie. They just use different actors.
But Hallmark's a different thing.
Yeah, but, like, it's even, like, the same thing for, like... It seems like movies just follow an outline. Like, they just... Like, every movie is just about the same as every other movie. Like, let me rephrase. Like, every movie in every genre is just about the same as every movie in every genre.
Well, I don't know how you would do anything differently.
I still think I phrased that poorly, but I think you know what I'm saying.
I don't know. I think some shows do it better than others. Some shows mask it better than others.
Yeah. I mean, you can certainly be more creative. I mean...
Like, Mary Tyler Moore was on for 7 years, and people often regard it as the best show in the history of television. Their last episode is ranked as the best last episode. And I think one of the reasons is because the show was on a period of like 4 or 5 years, and there was a complete switch in the show, which changed it. And I think gave it another few years of completely different storylines.
Like what? They get a new, like, well, the original, or something?
No, but the original show was about Mary, and she had her best friend who lived in the house that she lived in, and she had her landlord, who was Cloris Leachman. Her best friend was Valerie Harper, and then she had her job, which was Ed Asner was her boss, and Gavin McLeod was her co-worker, and Ted Knight was the anchorman. So it was a balance between home and work. But in the middle of the show... What?
Is this the show where at the end of the show there's like the big group hug and then she shuts off the light and the...
Yeah.
Okay.
But in the middle of the series, they took Valerie Harper and gave her own show, and they took Cloris Leachman and they gave her own show, so there was nobody left at home. So they replaced them with Georgia Engel, who became Ted's girlfriend at work, and Betty White, who became the happy...
Betty White!
Brought in Betty White. So then it just became kind of a work show. It was all about The Office.
See, I was under the impression it was always about The Office.
No.
I mean, I never watched the show, but I mean, the end of the show takes place in The Office, so I kind of assumed it was all about The Office.
No, the first 4 years or so, when you had Valerie Harper and Cloris Leachman there.
they just did a whole change-up of the show?
Well, it was split. I mean, half the time she was in half the shows would be about The Office, half the shows would be about her home life.
But I thought the people in the home life were gone.
At the end, yeah. So the last 2 or 3 years was all about the work.
I see.
Plus you had the new characters. You know, you had Betty White, and you had Ted and his girl. They got married, so that happened, and yeah, it was a good show.
Betty White's funny.
Never carried a show, though. If it was the Betty White show, it always failed.
Well, I guess she's not that funny. I don't know.
Well, I think she was a good supporting player.
Yeah, I could agree. I mean, the Golden Girls went on forever, and I still don't know what's up with that.
That show, you know, that's still one of those shows. People make mugs and shirts, and I think it's the writing. It does have good writing.
Well, I mean, the writing was what makes all the shows, I guess.
Yeah, but that one in particular. Because that show could have easily been written off as just four old ladies. That's all it is.
Well,
living in a house in Miami.
You'll have that, I guess. I mean,
but I think the writing was so good. And almost everybody who wrote on that show went on...
Was it like a comedy or a soap opera?
No, it was a comedy.
Well, that's good.
Well, we're done. Coming up next, coaching carousel.
Coaching carousel, off-season, and politics.
All right. Well, we're done for the night. I'll be back Monday morning. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
And I thought that was too mouthy. Margaret Bradley. There's no rhythm to it.